SA, the voice of South Africa.
I mean, there's nothing posh, but comfortable. There's two bedrooms, one big and one small, and the big one's yours.
Oh, so pretty. What quadrilles in the middle of Africa?
Some part of a transfer of terribly English. Fashion, of course. Well, not all of it is. Coffees and things. There are parts just like Surrey or Hampshire. Oh, I really like it. I knew. Come inside. Come and see, Jane. Go and meet Alfie. He does the garden and
cook. Yes, he
did. Not a very good cook.
Down out here now. Cook. That dragon.
You and your old flowers. Everything that grows in England grows in South Africa, too, and a lot more besides. Remember me telling you about Bogan Village? Come on.
James Brooks was his name. He had been in South Africa for 3 years. Leaving England on an impulse, England and the girlfriend, he had come to seek his fortune in a city called Johannesburg that was said to be made of gold. Within a month, he had decided he might as well have stayed in Sheffield, for there was nothing African about Johannesburg. And then, the city got under his skin, and he saved and bought a small car and began to go on weekend safaris to the Hartbeespoort Dam, and once he even drove to Durban. He wrote 4 times a week to a girl called Jane. And when she finally left Southampton University with an upper second or a lower first or something in history, she flew from a grey United Kingdom into the hard, bright sunlight of Jan Smuts Airport. By this time, he had rented a cottage at a place called Kyalami, where they race motor cars. And so began in earnest James Brooks' African adventure. In our series, Beyond Midnight, we present The Picture, written and produced by Michael McCain.
Yes, super, thanks. Shall we have tea outside? No, would you have tea inside? Wait a minute, Alfie.
Oh, darling, it's all right. I'll stay inside now. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, okay. Alfie.
I've never met anyone called Alfie before.
He's a nice bloke. Good in the garden, too. Such he doesn't know the difference between flowers and weeds. what do you do, Jane? Look for a job. Will you teach? I love you. Who
are you? I don't write as soon as I can. I must do that myself.
Don't be silly.
I love you too.
It's great to be able to say it instead of writing.
Mm.
You know me. I meant you waited a bit before asking you.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it would have been, oh, I don't know.
If I marry you, I won't have to care about myself, will I?
No.
All right, I'll marry you.
Sorry, that's 15 cents you owe me for the milk jug.
And that's how it went on that first day, the day she came to Africa. James Brooks found it quite impossible to sleep that first night. On 6 occasions at least, during the frog-croaking, cricket-singing night, he got up and padded to her door and listened to her sleeping. Sleeping a confused sleep of airliners and airports, blue oceans and green hills, a burnt brown place called the Transvaal, that had existed for her only in a song. In her bright dreams, customs officials and smiling black people danced jigs with elephants and tigers, lions and giraffes, and 1,000 spear-carrying warriors sharpened their assegais and prepare to make Hollywood come true. Southampton had vanished. A world had changed. In 6 weeks, they were married, and the second bedroom was turned into a study, and from there she wrote letters home describing her exaltation. Christmas came and went, and Joan Brooks grew brown in the sun and learned more Afrikaans in 4 months than her husband had managed in 3 years. The idyll lasted until April. Joan planted a cabbage patch and peas and began to make a compost heap. The idyll lasted until April. The dustbin lay on the ground a few yards from the bin itself. Once again, the lid of the bin was off. This time, the contents of the bin had been disturbed. An empty cornflakes packet lay several feet away. A newspaper parcel of tea leaves had burst.
I told you that I need tea leaves in the compost.
And the girl replaced the lid once more, wondering vaguely how it had been knocked off. It was raining, yes, but there seemed to be little or no wind.
You left it? Oh, darling. Oh, well, you mustn't leave the jacket home in the garage, must you? You won't. Oh, that's kind of him. How long do you think? Are you very hungry, darling? Yes. Oh, by the way, we've got a nice visitor. I think it's a girl.
20 minutes later, Jane Brooks was crouched in the small, cramped bathroom, waiting with a flashlight at the window. She crouched. But nothing came, no dog, nothing came at all while she waited for James, who had a puncture on the road from Johannesburg the night he forgot the car jack. Nothing came while she waited.
Oh, what the hell is that? It is looking kind of crazy. Oh, Jimmy. 2009. That time to make 20 plus miles.
Tom, you! Tom!
Look what it is.
Sorry, darling. Sit back.
Hmm?
The doctor.
Hmm? What?
The doctor. an office and I heard it.
Oh, did you wake up?
Oh, Henry.
You were going to see.
No, I wasn't. I was thinking. Put a rock on the lid. It can't have come off.
I don't care. I can't want to.
I'll go and see.
He went out into the dripping night and found...
What? The room? The devil could do that.
How many times has it been?
I don't know. When was the one with that place from?
2 weeks ago. No, 3. It was Friday.
Yeah.
And he didn't know how to put something down.
He didn't like toys or anything, did he?
But you know how you know.
As long as I think of it, can't be a dog, not even a wild one. Yeah, I think it'll be a great lump. You're being fed up with that, isn't it?
Yeah, you're a dog.
Yes, for the three. Okay. Since the moment we're waiting.
What do you mean?
Look, never seems to come when we're watching.
Not on Ken.
All right. Clever then, isn't he? Yeah, I'll get Roger up tomorrow. Maybe set a trap or something. I told him about it, you know. He said it could be a hyena. Sometimes to get it.
Maybe he'd just get one too.
No, they'd know. It'd be in the papers. No, I'm not going to put poison down there. That's horrible.
Look,
no more food in the dustbin. Nothing edible at all.
I don't. I don't put anything. Been at the compost heap. You think that's where he'd go, wouldn't you?
Not a very nice diet, compost. It's true. And don't ever walk out there after dark, will you? I need to take a look for things. Look at you.
Oh, Charlie. Don't worry, Jane, darling. It's an ethical package, this is all right. It's not going to be dark as Africa or anything.
But you wait for it. You're queer, isn't it? I've never known anything new with spices. Better than light. You flashed the light almost before the lid hit the ground. Nothing. Well, that's what I mean by again. I don't understand how these things can go that fast.
That's logical. You know all about cats and animals, have you?
Hmm.
I'm dreaming right now. The puppies both get cold. Usually it never rains in the winter,
see? Well, it shouldn't. First year I was here, there was a terrible drought.
My darling. Morning, darling.
Hmm?
4 o'clock.
Oh, blast. Still, we're going to have to get up early, isn't it?
Poor hungry little thing. Pretty grubbing in our dust.
Roger Sillier, who farmed at Mulled Drift, visited the cottage that next day. He was a hunter, a one-time warden of the Kruger National Park. He knew a lot about animals, so it had to be an animal. He looked for spoor, but found nothing. The winter rain that shouldn't have been passed away, and the land became parched and dusty again. A month, 2 months passed. It was July, and the brooks had forgotten their night visitor. Came the night of the new moon. Jane had just put out the light in the little round bedroom in the Kyle Army cottage.
The room. Oh, gosh, it gets cold, isn't it?
Yeah, the room.
It's back again.
Who cares?
This time, neither of them bothered to replace the lid. The illuminated hands of the clock showed 3:30 when Jane Brooks went into the kitchen to get a glass of water.
Oh, amazing. Hello, Africa. Hello, world.
don't know any more than you do. She suffered some kind of shock.
She doesn't even know me. She doesn't know anyone. She can't tell you. She walks about. She sees, but...
Mr. Brooks, sit down, please, won't you? Now, this night when it happened, you say something knocked the lid off your dustbin outside your house. You've had this happen a lot of times, but...
Yes, but I'm nothing bitter or anything.
No, I know that. Now, this has happened many times, and you said you've often watched for it.
Waited, but we've never seen what did it. No, look, the night it happened, the lid was knocked off. But it was hours later when she... Well, I think she went into the kitchen. Maybe she heard something, I don't know. I don't think so, because, you see, we decided not to bother about it anymore. And anyway, it had been there for ages. We put a rock on the bin at first, and then we didn't bother. We never put anything it could eat in there after the beginning. But what? Look, I'm
Brooks. Isn't frightened of animals?
She's not frightened of animals, no. Good heavens, she's never been scared of animals. Why? You think she saw a hyena or something? Could it have been that? Seeing a hyena.
From what I know of her, I don't think a hyena could do it, no.
Well, they're all very interested in her condition, as they call it. But like Gould. Well, there's another one of them coming from Cape Town tomorrow, someone called Sachs. A Professor Sachs. Roger, look, was it a hyena?
I don't know.
But you looked.
I looked, man, yes, I looked. Well, there wasn't a thing anywhere around.
I heard her screaming, and I went in there like a shot. It was bright moonlight. Like day it was, and there was nothing that... Nothing at all. Just the lid on the ground. Like before.
I don't understand. Something to do that to her. You're staying in Johannesburg now, aren't you? Never clinic.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think she's going to die.
Die?
James, don't she is. She's not here anymore. She's gone.
Gone?
There's nothing in her eyes.
She's had some kind of a shock, James. You know what Rosenstein...
But she's all... empty. It's as if she's not there anymore. She just doesn't know me.
I feel very stupid about this, James. What can I say? I don't understand it. She saw something that frightened her.
Well, frightens one thing, but it's as if she's gone... And the doctors, they don't know what it is. She said, Rosen, it was like when people are shell-shocked in water.
How often did this thing happen? This business would have been out of the country.
We all talk about that. It's got nothing to do with that.
I don't know. Might have. It happened the same night as a dog or hyena or whatever it was, Ken.
But a long time after. I think someone is prowling about, going to break in or something. And when she saw him, he frightened the life out of her.
A human being wouldn't do that.
I never remember when you said that.
What?
Human being.
If you aren't going to stay at your cottage, can I go out there for a few days?
Yeah, of course.
But good. I can take a while off. You've kept on your boy, you say. Can he make good scrambled egg, eh?
Roger Sillier went to Kailana and stayed for a week. He slept during most of the days and waited with a rifle inside the small bathroom during the hours of night. On the fifth night, Roger Sillier baited a spring trap. In the morning, nothing. He left the meat in the trap throughout the next day, and it began to stink. The flies feasted on it and grew fat. And fell helpless, crawling in the winter sun. Came the seventh night, and Sillier decided to return to Johannesburg the following day. He decided the Englishwoman was merely neurotic, like most Englishwomen. Like most women, come to that. He had read everything of interest at the cottage, and was considering bed when the cricket stopped singing. When you have been a hunter and you have listened to a million crickets singing their endless arias throughout a thousand nights, you wonder when they just cease for no apparent reason.
Whatever you are, move faster than lightning.
Nothing more that night, though. In the morning, Sillier went back to his farm and then to Johannesburg. In the afternoon, he set up 3 cameras. Each had a flash attachment and a shutter speed of 1,000th of a second. He arranged them with a complex system of wires, one in the bougainvillea, one on the bathroom windowsill, and the third on the ground, its lens looking out at the dustbin. Before dark, he drove back into Johannesburg to see James Brooks. His wife.
Nothing. I don't know what to do.
They can't help at all. They just keep her at the clinic under observation. They can't seem to suggest any treatment other than usual shock stuff.
Jane
needs me. And she still doesn't know who I am.
You're going back again?
You don't mind?
No. So what good will it do?
Whatever it is, it's too fast, Roger. You can't catch it, and if you're watching, it doesn't come. And even if you saw it, well, that wouldn't help Jane, would it? And anyway, would it? The same thing happened to you.
A month passed. Sillier moved much of his belongings out to Kyle Army and made himself comfortable. A bachelor, he had no one to answer to for his movements. His farm ran itself. He had a good staff. A month passed. Sillier read 8 novels, checked the cameras each morning, and grew a little bored. Jane Brooks remained the same. Her husband was told that if he could not think of some way to improve his work, he might lose his job. It was the beginning of September when Roger Sillier had the feeling that something was going to happen. He decided to watch that night. He had slept most of the others, leaving the camera's eyes to do their job. At 3:30, he went to get a gin. And that, of course, is when... But 3 small bombs of light had exploded in the darkness seconds before. Each camera had taken its impression of the rancid meat-eater. Negatives and fluid, bottles and magic, the miracle of photography. The first exposure yielded nothing but a blurred image of grass by night, something that might have been the west wall of the cottage and a bit of sky. The second print might have won an arty European photographic competition, Kyle Army dusting by night. The third print...
What is it? Touch me, man, I don't know. But whatever it is, the camera sees it and the naked human eye doesn't.
I'm a scientist, Mr. Sillier's a doctor. I can't accept
that old blood kid. She's just the same, huh?
Yes, still the same.
I'm not going to teach you your job, but can I make a suggestion that might help?
What?
Listen, I don't know whether you think it's too much of a risk.
Rosen was not interested in the photographer's plan. Another month passed, and only these 2 men knew what the camera had seen. Brooks was examined by 4 specialists, men from Switzerland, Germany, and Britain, as well as South Africa. No one knew what was the matter with her. There were many long textbook terms bandied about, but essentially her condition remained a mystery. Then, with her husband's permission and Rosen's reluctant cooperation, they arranged for Jane Brooks a slideshow.
Jane, Dr. Rosen, I think this might just... Please tell us if she saw us too.
Stay close by her, Mr. Brooks. It might distress her. Right.
What?
What? What? I'm pushing off now. Put the maid on somebody. I can't. Tell her I'm home. Tell you to.
For a moment, the white screen had been filled with a figure. A figure the like of which no man had ever seen before. Like a hyena on its hind legs, dancing in the glare of the camera's flashing, night-splitting eyes. A hyena with a hyena's body and a mere man's face. A dawn man's face, hideous in its bestiality. The lips were drawn back in a snarl, a silent cry of defiance.
Darling, it's all right, lad.
Please, darling, it's all right. Within the month, James Brooks and his bride flew back to Europe. She was herself again, nervous and depressed, perhaps, but essentially herself. And after a while, Rosen assured James that even this would pass. Roger Cillier, who was always of a morbid disposition, rented the Kyle Army cottage and lived there still. The picture was never shown again. There is no point in wasting words attempting to describe the indescribable. Subsequent research revealed that the cottage was built originally on the site of an Ndebele burial ground that dated back to before the white man came to Africa. The Brooks live in Torquay, England now. They have no wish to return to the Transvaal, which is a pity. It's very beautiful. Most of the time. Even beyond midnight.